Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, it's Trina Mara. Dan Potts has joined us from The Career Coach today. You may follow him on Instagram. Some great advice if you're job hunting or if you are subject to redundancy, which is what we want to talk about today. Hiya, Dan. Thanks for coming on.
How are you, Trina?
Good. So this is an area a lot of people will face in their life. Sometimes it can come out of the blue. Sometimes it can be something that you're expecting. Obviously, there's a lot of voluntary redundancies as well. But nevertheless, it can still be a very, very traumatic time, daunting time. You feel like you're not employable. And we want to talk to you today about what to do when you first get that meeting or you're called in and told you're being redundant.
The first thing to realise that you're going to go through a bit of a natural feeling of loss, and there can be a little bit of grief kind of process that kicks in thereafter, depending on the approach that's happened with the organization. Naturally, it's going to be an awful lot less than some if you're expecting it coming up, but if it's certainly out of the blue, you're naturally going to go through that because of what's going to be on the other side of that then in terms of, you know, opportunities for you, where you're at in your own career, what you were expecting from that particular role. But really then, once you have kind of settled with that, it is really about asking the right questions and understanding exactly what the road in front's going to look like, certainly in the short term. So what does the redundancy look like? Why is that decision being made specifically for yourself? Because when you do go out into the open market again and looking for new opportunities, it is going to be part of the conversation. So just getting as much detail as you can around that now. Yeah. Some of that won't be possible to share, I would say, but equally it's about getting as much as you possibly can and being able to shape your story later as to what's happened, why it's occurred and so on.
So there's no problem in saying that to your boss by saying, look, what was the criteria? Why was I chosen for the redundancy over Mary who works on the desk beside me or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not necessarily referencing the others, but understanding just for yourself specifically, what was the rationale behind it? Why did they feel that was the case? It does help sometimes with understanding. It can hurt a little bit too, don't get me wrong, but at least if you can get a little bit of insight into it, and they're never going to share too much because they don't want to share it that they might have been biased in some respects or another, and everyone has biases, but it is about making sure that you understand some of the reason behind it. Once you've understood some of the reason, it does help, I suppose, internalize it a little bit more and figure out what maybe happened, but also in terms of just being able to articulate yourself when you're asked the question of, you know, what happened in the business, why was the decision made, because it is going to come up at some point in the future when you're going for other interviews and other roles.
Now, another thing that people think of straight away is, oh my God, how am I going to pay my bills? I've been working for this company for X amount of years. We're used to this income. What do I do next? So there's steps to take as well in regarding to your finances.
Absolutely. And it is, I'm used to a steady income. What does that look like? The benefit in most cases is certainly now the redundancy programs most companies will put in place will offer quite significant security for a certain period of time anyway. A lot of people will be aware, certainly in bigger companies, that redundancy programs are in place, what they would look like, how that might look. You can, of course, push back on certain negotiation factors as well. All of your employee rights are still applicable. You do have a bit of leverage there. It's not a case of just having to accept it. It is a case where you can push back on things and see what else is obviously on offer. So understanding, number one, is the financial aspect of it. How has it been calculated? Why has it been calculated in that way? What options are available to you? And that's seeking independent advice outside of that. Then also looking at the benefit structure around it. So has your unpaid holidays been factored in? Has your additional benefits been incorporated? Are you being given any provisions in terms of upskilling, reskilling, or being able to transition into the open market in a much more effective way? Because depending on when you were made redundant, it might be a case that you haven't interviewed in a number of years and now will need significant support to, one, create a CV, two, to be able to go and actually conduct an interview. So what supports are also available there? Because we are seeing it more and more with businesses in general that they are putting these style programs in, and we would speak with them on a regular basis about how to do it effectively.
So they almost have a duty of care, not just to show you the door, but to make sure that, you know, you have a good chance of getting another job. So it might be sending you on a course where you can retrain or upskill, or supporting you, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, people want to give others a soft landing in these scenarios because obviously it's better for them in terms of their employer brand later on. And because that is something that people do factor in there when they're going looking for new jobs as to how they would manage those processes. They happen. It's a more regular thing now. You know, jobs for life is very, very rare, if at all, in some respects. So looking at how, when these sort of scenarios occur, how do they manage it? Because that is part of the decision-making process. Certainly as we see younger generations coming through into the workforce, that is part of their thinking of, well, these things we know happen because of what we're seeing in over the last 15, 20 years, and we're seeing them to accelerate more and more. How do they treat people ultimately? Mm-hmm. So it's a very big factor that businesses are now really taking seriously. Yeah. And we're going to see, I suppose, an awful lot of these redundancy programs happen more and more because of the adoption of AI, because of what's happening in the market. So it's going to be a very big topic as we roll forward.
Yeah, and Dan, nobody likes to be the bearer of that news. Like, I always feel sorry for the person who's telling somebody we're making you redundant. It must be, they must go home and just feel crap. And unfortunately, it's something that just has to be, you know, somebody has to tell them.
Yeah, and it is definitely a tough scenario. You know, I've seen it in all scenarios myself personally. I've experienced being
on both sides.
Both sides, exactly. So I've seen the challenging side of it, all that sort of stuff. So it's never a nice scenario in general. The benefit, like I say, is that in some respects, it's giving people an opportunity to really thrive in a different field and move up the value chain. And others, it can be a very challenging task. I was actually in a scenario where a company decided to pull out of Ireland. They'd ran into some financial difficulty and let people know on one day that they were, you know, leaving. And
Did you all have to go that day?
Yeah, that day. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And if they can't afford to pay the outstanding debt they already have and everything else, there is no redundancy package applicable, because the first thing that's get paid is other businesses or the state, of course, for taxes and so on. There is still state support that are in place because obviously you've been paying taxes, the company's been paying taxes and so on. So you do get some form of redundancy from the state as well. It's much less depending on the time you've been with the business and what that might look like. And then, of course, it is possible to get social welfare as well, but yeah, that would be means tested, but it can happen. So that's what I mean by the very challenging side, I suppose, of redundancy. It can be a more challenging story. You're told one day you don't have a job, and then equally there's no actual support in place to manage the next kind of couple of months when you've got responsibilities. It's much rarer now. We're seeing an awful lot more structure put in place around that because of what we've probably experienced over the last 10 to 15 years in Ireland.
So say, for example, unlike the job that you're in, Dan, say, for example, they say, we're making you redundant, here's your month's notice. Would you encourage people to work out that month, or they could be given the option, or you could leave today? Would you say leave on the day that you're told, or would you work out the month because you're going to be paid either way? And would you spend that time working on getting a new job, or would you tend to stay, or what would you encourage people to do?
I mean, for me, and certainly what I'd be advising businesses on, is that they have to pay out the notice period, whatever that may be. I would always encourage them to say they're more than welcome to stay to close things out. At the same time, we understand the news, so they can take time to reflect and then obviously go on leave during that period. This will be paid for as normal, and for the individual to be able to take that time, one, to go through the stage they need to internally to figure out what they're going to do, to look at the road ahead and what steps they can take, and three, obviously, to be really looking for that role. So better to take as much time as you can in between each role, because there is that negative aspect to it, of course. There's always going to be a knock to your confidence. There's always going to be a bit of a feeling of loss. And then equally, there's going to be that imposter syndrome that kicks in. Yes, I might have been adding value in that business, and it's nothing to do with me specifically. It's to do with what's happening in the business at the time. But how do I add value to another business? And that is a bit of a road to travel at times. It can happen much quicker than, you know, it's not months or anything else, but you do have to realize that there is a bit of a process there. So taking as much time to figure that out is always important. And I do feel that when these things happen, I've seen so many people thrive because of it, because the kind of shackles are off them a little bit. They've nothing to lose, so they really go after things and find really where they were meant to be in the first place, but didn't have the opportunity before they stepped into the previous role, or they had responsibilities and weren't able to take that step because of the fear of the unknown. Whereas now there is none of that. Those potential pitfalls are all removed, and now they can really go and grab the opportunity they really want to have moving forward.
Kind of take a risk that you might not have normally taken. Yeah, I guess as
exactly.
Well, when you talk about whether to work out that month's notice or whether to go on that particular day, that all also depends on if you're working in an industry where a load of your colleagues are all being made redundant on the same day. I mean, I'm sure some people want to get ahead of the curve. They want to get their applications out, get the jobs that are available for their industry before everyone else as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And exactly as if you're staying in the same specific field and there is opportunities, or, you know, maybe it's a very competitive market, naturally the first inclination is going to be that fight or flight piece where you're going to step out and really drive after things. And that's completely understandable. It's a natural inclination, a natural thing to do. At the same time, depending on the support you're getting and how long that redundancy package might last you, it's a great opportunity not to waste time or to just, you know, take a break for a very extended period of time, because that actually makes it much harder, believe it or not, coming back into the market. It's actually about taking the time to reflect and figure out, is this pathway the right one for you? Is this where you really see yourself over the next few years? Is the career path you're following future proof. It's something we talk about regularly. Is there's so much innovation happening now, and it's happening at such an accelerated pace. How will that impact you long term, and how will that impact the sector you're working in? And is this now the perfect opportunity for you to transition into something that, one, you're passionate about, and two, has a much greater growth opportunity long term, both in terms of satisfaction, work-life balance, and also progression?
Yeah, somebody said to me this morning, Dan, radio presenters, you won't be needed anymore. And I was like, don't be saying that to me. Please don't say that. Hopefully people get a lot more out of this show than just the music. Hopefully they get a bit of, you know, the personal touch. So say you're happy with the redundancy package and the figures kind of add up and they all make sense to you. You need to make yourself known, I guess, to the Department of Social Protection to go through what you're entitled to. So you mentioned there the job seekers allowance or job seekers benefit. I'm not sure what it's called at the moment. I'm assuming that you'd still be entitled to that if you were married, or would that be all means tested, depending on whether you have children, all that kind of thing?
It definitely is means tested, and they do look at different factors, but you are sort of entitled to it. You've paid taxes, and everyone's different depending on the kind of setup they have, but you are absolutely entitled to it. So it's definitely one to be aware of. The whole purpose of paying the taxes we pay is to make sure we have a bit more of a soft landing. We do have a decent structure where there's huge amounts of support there to upskill or reskill that you can look at while you're figuring these things out, albeit you might not necessarily need it right now. It's about making sure that you are aware of what's available to you. So if you do need to leverage it at some point in the future, you know exactly what to do, how to do it, and when to go about it. But certainly taking that step early on is always really important.
Yeah. Get in there and get what you're entitled to. Sure, it's what you've been paying for. Absolutely. No, definitely. There's something as well, I guess, you know, when you're in a job a long time, you might feel, you might be in your 40s, you might be in your 50s, and you might feel, do you know what? They're definitely going to be hiring the 20-year-old above me, because they probably won't have as high of a salary expectation. Maybe they're more technically minded, they're into all their TikTok, and they're more clued in with that kind of thing. People as they age worry, I guess, about being employable. But it doesn't matter what stage you're at in life, everybody has something to bring to the table.
Yeah, and what we're seeing now, right, and if we look at the acceleration that AI is being adopted and where that's coming in, and it's causing, you know, huge unrest and huge concern in some areas because of the pace it's moving at. At the same time, one of the big things that's being talked about is the level of skills and how those skills are applicable to the market moving forward. And, you know, if we think of Ireland in general, we're very good storytellers. One of the biggest things that's going to be looked for are soft skills, because it's actual people engagement and communication. So there's a massive opportunity for those that would have more exposure to that, which typically the age demographic would be those that are a bit older, that would typically rely on that human connection, communication.
Yeah, radio presenters, what? Radio presenters.
Exactly. So like anything, it's about how do you leverage what you already have? What transferable skills do you have? And we've built a new tool called Career Navigator, funny enough, that looks at all this sort of stuff, because that's really what's going to happen. We're going to see huge amounts of job displacement because of AI, and that's not scaremonger. It's more about this is going to happen, but at the same time, there's a massive amount of opportunity that's going to come out of that. And equally, it's a massive opportunity for each individual to be able to upskill and reskill in a very simplistic way to get ahead of that curve and understand what value they're going to bring in a very changing future world of work. There is a huge opportunity in front of us, and we're very much a fan of, you know, you can be a victim of change or success because of them. I think largely, if we're looking at things in the right way, when these kind of changes happen, whether it's a redundancy or a change in the marketplace or anything else, there's always a massive opportunity if you're willing to accept that, you know, willing to accept what is and making sure that you leverage it in the right way for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. My friend was made redundant there in the last couple of weeks, and her positivity is amazing. Because if that was me now, I'd be like, oh God, the world is coming to an end. But she is absolutely looking at this as being an opportunity, like you said, to start to look at new things, maybe look at things that she really wanted to do all along and couldn't because of, you know, financial pressures and paying mortgages, all that kind of thing. And going for something a bit different. No, it's brilliant. So Dan, if anybody wants to get help, say if they just have been made redundant and they're looking to maybe get their CV, another eye looking over their CV or skills in interviewing, or maybe it's a long time since they've done something like that, you're there to help.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what we do. So we work with individuals taking that first step in their career. If they're first coming out into the market and struggling to get that first step, we're working with people that are taking that next step, so trying to move into management or moving to a different role than what they're in right now. If they found themselves out of role in a surprising way or anything else, or those individuals like we were just talking about now, now in that redundancy scenario, or just those that have got to a certain point in their career where they feel that this particular field is no longer for them, or they see the writing on the wall where actually a lot of the tasks they do daily is going to be automated and they want to move into a different field where they're going to get more value for their own time and as well as job satisfaction. So we would always say that's a new step, though. We would work with each individual, and then where each individual wants to just look at how they tailor pieces in a very different way. We also have our AI tool, Career Navigator. So we help across multiple different areas.
Because I do have a friend, right? And she was doing up her CV, and from the first look at her CV, she was like, oh, I have no skills. Look at that. I just have no skills. And like that, somebody else had a look at it, changed a few words around, and suddenly she was being inundated with job offers. So it's about how you present yourself, even if you don't feel as confident yourself, letting somebody like yourself, Dan, have a look and go, actually, do you know what? That's a very transferable skill. You're well able to do this. You're completely employable. And we'll get you there.
Absolutely. And it is very much that. A lot of people can't see the wood through the trees when they're first looking at things. And they feel a CV is simply, you know, a documentation of all of your experience so far. When really it's not. It's a sales document about how you present your unique skill set, what you bring to the table that nobody else can bring. We might have the same, you might have the same education or experience level, but it's actually how you brought value previously and how you'd be actually able to deliver value in a new role. And that's very different for every single person. That's exactly what we do within each individual, seeing that, seeing their unique skill setting their unique ability to deliver value for a business and build a worthwhile career for themselves. It's very difficult to achieve that on your own. So if you are running into that kind of brick wall at times, and we're firm believers in, you know, if you can do this yourself, brilliant. But if you need additional support and want that extra eye or have that person in your corner, that's exactly what we do. Yeah, that's where we specialize.
Do you know what it is? We're not American, so we're not used to boasting about our achievements. We almost apologize for the things we've achieved in our career. So Dan, how can we contact you and the guys at The Career Coach?
Yeah, if you can catch us on our Instagram channel, which is at @thecareercoach_official, or on our website, which is www.thecareer-coach.com, or Career Navigator, which is at thecareernavs.com.
Okay, and I know on your Instagram there's a way to email directly as well, so you can just have a look there and get in touch with Dan. He can help you get that dream job. Thanks so much, Dan, and we'll talk to you really soon. It's Ireland's
Brilliant. Thanks so much for having me on.